Today's podcast is proudly brought to you by Plus Fitness Castle Dine. Experience the plus side with Plus Fitness Castle Dine. Enjoy 24-hour access to 220-plus gyms, flexible memberships, and dynamic classes. Follow them on Instagram at Plus Fitness Castle Dine or call them today on 32617400 or simply drop in and say hello to the team. You can find them at the Castle Dine Homemaker Centre in Castle Dine. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Paul's Body Engineering Podcast. Another solo episode this week. And the topic for this week is one that I've actually talked about before. And in fact, it's come up in a couple of nutrition seminars I've done of late. And, you know, I thought, well, the people that have turned up, great. That's fantastic. They've turned up, they've learned about nutrition and obviously other aspects of their for their health and fitness journey. But why not deliver the same message across the podcast? You know, there's plenty of listeners on this podcast, and I'm very grateful for that. And I thought, right, I might just share some of the little bits and pieces that I've brought up in those nutrition seminars. And one of the take-home slides that I present is my 15 tips for weight loss success, or take-home tips, as I call it, because it sort of rounds off the session. So I thought I'd go through each point and just elaborate a little bit more in this podcast. So there's some really good tips here for anyone who just wants to generally improve their health and fitness. Now, if you're someone who doesn't want to count calories or, you know, is happy with sort of where you're at, but you want to make some subtle improvements, this is the podcast for you. So grab a pen, take down some notes, obviously replay it multiple times if you need to, share it with your friends, your family, etc., who you believe could benefit from it as well. And I'll go through each point bit by bit and just elaborate a little bit more. And I welcome questions as well. That's the other thing too, you know, and that's a beauty about doing seminars in person, is that people can obviously get direct questions answered so that they can walk away feeling satisfied that they've learned something as well. But, you know, podcasts should be no different. You can still reach out, whether it be through DM, email, any other form of communication, and ask any questions you may have. But let's get on with it. So these are my 15 tips for weight loss success. So the first one, and a lot of these are very logical too, very common, very logical, but I will elaborate nonetheless. The first one is eat a high protein diet, okay? Very important. Now, over the 10 years that I've been coaching people, particularly those around weight loss or just they want to maintain, a lot are under eating on the protein, particularly females. So a high protein diet is very important for a number of reasons. And the obvious one is for muscle growth and, you know, maintenance. So, you know, if you're training weights, if you're doing excessive cardio or just a lot of cardio in general, you need to maintain your muscle because that's where our strength comes from, right? If you're doing weights and your intention is to get stronger, then again, we need to have a adequate amount of protein in our daily intake to support those activities. But also from a dieting point of view, from a point of view where you're trying to lose weight, protein is very satiating. It doesn't break down as quickly as carbohydrates. Therefore, it keeps you fuller for longer. So it's really important that you spread your protein out throughout the day. You make sure you have an adequate amount. And this is going to support all of those things, all those examples I just gave. So that's point number one. Point number two is, and I kind of touched on this in point one, is eat meals regularly throughout the day. Now, if your goal is to lose weight, by eating meals regularly, so every 3 hours, 4 hours, something like that, it's not a superior method in terms of advancing your ability to lose more weight, but it manages your hunger and your satiation, your hunger cues, a lot more effectively. So, you know, you've gone, I'm sure a listener, you know, you're listening right now and you've gone 5 or 6 hours without eating, right? You're famished. So all you want to do is eat whatever's conveniently available at that time. You don't put any strategy into it because you are so hungry. Hunger can, it could be an emotion. So it can be very emotional. So if you eat on a regular basis, you know, throughout the course of the day, you're going to manage that hunger a lot better. You're going to manage your energy a lot better. Therefore, you're potentially going to lose weight a lot more effectively. Okay, number three, supplements. Supplements only supplement your nutrition. They don't replace it. Very, very important. You know, one of my clients works in a supplement outlet, a retail outlet, and the story she tells me about people coming in and spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on supplements because they believe that is the go-to. That is the thing that they need to help them on their weight loss journey. When in point of fact is, no, we just need to break things down and get really simple, okay? The only supplements that are heavily researched and backed by science that will support you and a weight loss journey are creatine monohydrate, number one, caffeine, number two, and beta-alanine, number three. All the rest of them are not necessary because you should be able to get them from food. Simple as that. It's to supplement your nutrition, not replace it. So very, very important point. Don't go spending hundreds of dollars. Reinvest that money in a coach. Get some programs. Get better advice rather than wasting money on something that you don't need. All right, number four. Don't eat subconsciously. Now, we've all been victims of this, and we do it often and more often than we think. You know, we're watching a movie and we have popcorn in front of us, and you'll just continuously eat it through a habitual movement, right? You're sitting there eating. Next thing you know, you've hit the bottom of the popcorn container. Whoa, okay, it's all gone. Packet of chips, same. Packet of biscuits, same. If your mind is elsewhere, but you've got food in front of you, and we tend to eat around social or cultural events like watching sport, watching movies, going to see sport, at a bar, playing pool, barbecue, like these sorts of things where you will snack endlessly. It's just a common occurrence. So it's really important that firstly you're aware. Secondly, you put some ground rules in place. So maybe rather than an entire packet of popcorn or chips, put out a little bowl for yourself. Control the quantities, okay? Straight away, that's going to give you a lot more control over the situation. It's going to quantify what you're eating. Have a lot of water as well. So things like that, you know, if you're aware of the situation and you know that that's where you could potentially end up eating an entire bag of chips or popcorn or lollies or whatever, control the situation, quantify it, and that's going to put you in a much stronger position. Number five, don't aggressively diet. I've seen this time and time again, and in fact I've recently had communication with a new inquiry who is eating ridiculously low, training way too much, and they're wondering why they're not losing weight, and this is why. If anyone's interested in another podcast by the people at Mind Pump, did a fantastic podcast on metabolic adaptation and reverse dieting, really well put together and well spoken. It explains really well how eating really low can actually inhibit your ability to lose weight, and if anything, stop it from happening, whereby you actually need to eat more, you know. And this is I guess it's a stigma that a lot of people fall victim to, because it's an old school mentality that you have to eat less and train heaps to lose weight. You know, the equation sort of adds up, but in point of fact, it's been shown and proven through science that you don't have to eat really, really low, and you don't have to train really, really hard. So no aggressive diets. Don't go to an 800 calorie diet or a 1000 calorie diet, okay? There are better ways to lose weight and more healthy ways to lose weight, whereby you can lose the weight and keep it off rather than go through an aggressive diet and then rebound so quickly. So the next point of number six rolls into what I just spoke about, and that is don't train excessively. You know, and rest is important. By training 7 days a week, you're not giving your body time to recover, you're not giving your body time to recoup, repair, and you're heightening the chance of injury, and you're just constantly inflamed. So you're not allowing that time for the body to adapt to the stimulus that you've just put it through before you go again. Now, yes, professional athletes, different story, but they've trained for lengthy periods of time over years and years and years and got to a point where their body has adapted. But at the professional level, they're also being monitored by high performance teams, strength and conditioning teams, so they know when recovery is needed. Whereas as an amateur, as an everyday lifestyle person, we need to take days off. We have to take days off. That is incredibly important. But also, excessive training, I do see it firsthand where people will train twice a day, then in between they'll do, you know, half an hour on the Stairmaster or a group fitness class or multiple group fitness classes. The body won't respond positively if you're trying to lose weight, that is, to excessive training. It really won't, because you're constantly inflamed. It goes into survival mode. It holds on to body fat as a survival method because it thinks you're burning way too much and you're going into, you know, effectively a state of no return when it comes to excessive energy consumption. So if you wind back the clock, like for me, and I'll use myself as an example, I train 5 days a week, hour at a time. That's it. No other training. So it's really important that we are aware of this and we implement rest days. Okay, next one. Number 7, don't keep making dietary changes. So if you're following a diet, okay, and it's up and down, but you're very strict to it, you're following it strictly, you're methodical, you're being consistent, don't make unnecessary changes all the time. You know, give it time. Often you'll see, clients that I work with, it could take up to 6 weeks, some even longer, before the body starts to respond positively to a diet, simply because their history has been very yo-yo-ish, very up and down, very inconsistent, and the body needs time to adapt to a consistent intake of energy, therefore a consistent output of energy. Whereas if you continually change after a week, 7 days, you go, oh, I didn't lose any weight, I've got to drop my calories. No, that's too rash a decision to make. Please don't do that. Give it time. And if you're unsure, seek out professional advice. Now, number 8 goes back to number 6, and that is take rest days. So it is really important that you take rest days. I encourage all of my clients to have rest days. I encourage all of my clients to take deload days as well. Because, you know, you can build up accumulative fatigue whereby you're training hard and hard and hard and hard and hard. What happens? The body gets inflamed, you heighten the chance of injury, you get more and more fatigue, therefore you're impacting your sleep, your recovery is less, your strength declines, and you become more emotional, more erratic, and you're not getting the results you want. So it is very much a balancing act, but one that can be easily managed through effective rest. All right, number 9. Water. It's a common one, right? It's so simple, but we tend to take it for granted because it is readily available. Water is so important. Like, we're plus 80% water. So we need a lot of water to survive. Without water, we do not survive. Simple as that. We can go, you know, several days without food, but without water, no, doesn't work. So we need to make sure that we are well and truly hydrated all the time. But also, more importantly, it hydrates our organs, our brain, our muscles, our skin. So it's not just about weight loss. It's about how we feel. It's about how we move, how we interact, how strong we are, how energetic we are, how well we sleep, how good we think. All of these are simple but very important pieces to our daily lives that we need to be running at an optimal level all the time. And if they're not, you know, first point of call is water. Make sure you drink enough water. If you get a headache, first thing, get more water in. If you get in a cramp, first thing, get more water in. It obviously needs to be even more prevalent after training, because obviously you expend a lot of perspiration, a lot of water through training, no matter what the type of training is. First thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, you should be having a big glass of water, simply because you haven't had any water for several hours. So you are technically dehydrated first thing in the morning. Don't go for the coffee, have a glass of water first. Then give yourself time before you you utilize coffee as a means to sort of get your day started. All right, number 10, control the weekend. So common that you see everyone, or, you know, individuals really methodical with their intake Monday to Friday. Then Friday evening comes around, they've had a big week at work, they're stressed, they're emotional, they're tired, they're fatigued, they do not want to cook, they do not want to track their food or follow a plan. So 9 times out of 10, they'll look for takeaway, they'll look for an easy option, a convenient option, and then that will roll into Saturday, and then that will roll into Sunday, and then they're chasing their tail Sunday night, and it all starts again Monday, right? Who said that? Right, diet starts Monday. Diet starts Monday. It's a very common occurrence and a common phrase used, and somewhat of a meme now because so many people use it, because the weekends get ahead of us. They get away from us really, really quickly. So if you go into a weekend with a strategy, with a plan, you know, with control, self-control and discipline, that's what it comes down to a lot of the time. You don't have to have a drink if you think it's going to disrupt your weekend. You don't have to have multiple takeout meals. Okay, you can control these situations if you're strong enough in terms of your self-control and discipline. In the seminar I gave, I used a graph that gets shared around a lot, and that is, you know, in terms of calories, you know, you say Monday to Thursday, you're at 1,800 calories. Maintains your weight really well. Come Friday, you're at 2,200. Saturday, 2,500. Sunday, 2,500. So the average for the week is actually more likely to be 2,300 rather than 1,800. 1,800 keeps your weight under control. 2,300 does not. Therefore, you know, weekends really need to be reined in. Okay, number 11. Don't grocery shop when you're hungry. Who's done this? Where you grocery shop, you're really hungry, so you end up grabbing food that you normally wouldn't buy, but you're grabbing it off an emotional decision because you're feeling that hunger. So you're either buying it because you're going to eat it in the car or even on the way out, or you're buying it because you're hungry at that point in time and you think you want it, even though you potentially don't, and then it may sit in your cupboard later on anyway. So, you know, grocery shopping should be done strategically. You should have a list, firstly. Okay, secondly, you should go in and stick to that list. Don't deviate from it. And thirdly, you want to make sure that, and this is, again, coming from my opinion more so than just a broad approach, try and stick to more wholesome food. Don't go down the processed aisles as much as you need to. You know, if you are one that when you go grocery shopping, you walk every aisle, chances are you're going to have more in your trolley because you're getting pulled in by clever marketing, by positional items and things like that, that companies pay a lot of money to be in certain eyesight and certain levels for. Whereas if you go in with a strict list and you make sure that you stick to that list, chances are you don't need to go down multiple aisles. You only need to go down two or three. You've got your shop and you're done. Or even better, do an online shop. You'd be surprised how convenient this can actually be, whether you you know, you order and pick it up or you have it delivered. Straight away, the opportunity to be in front of products and grab them when you don't need them is taken away completely. So that issue is gone. Okay, number 12. Be patient, be consistent, and build sustainable habits. Patience is such a thing that we need to have more of because we're unfortunately looking for quick results, and quick results don't work. They don't last, you know, and there's plenty of people out there that have come to me after doing an 8-week diet, doing a 6-week diet, trying an online diet of some description, and yeah, they've had some success, but they haven't been taught how to maintain. They haven't been taught how to keep this thing going long term. You have to ask yourself, if you're having success on a very aggressive short-term diet, ask yourself the question, can I maintain this long-term? Is this something I want to stick to long-term? Because once you've done the diet, what's next? What's the next step? What's the diet after the diet? So really need to, whenever you go into a dieting phase, a weight loss journey, you need to be prepared for it to take time. And that will allow it to be a sustainable approach that you can embrace. And through that process, you will build healthy habits. And some of the points I've already raised are built around habits: drinking your water, exercising regularly, good relationship with food, getting good sleep, stress management. You know, all of these factors play a vital role in you having success and building habits. You know, at the moment, you've got habits. Everyone does, that you do on a daily basis. So you may need to create some new ones and shift off some old ones. Now, number 13, continually educate yourself. So, so important. We tend to push this one to the side and play the naivety card way too much. Oh, I just don't know. I don't know how to track calories. It's frustrating. It's hard to use technology. I get it. It is. When I first started, didn't understand it at all, but I persevered. I stuck with it, and now I consider myself, well, an expert really, in tracking calories and nutrition. But there's so much free information out there that you can fully utilize, whether it be on social media, podcasts, YouTube, or even just attending free seminars at your gym or talking to people that you know are well-versed in a certain space. Learn, learn, learn. You know, the more you learn, the better you get. It's your job. Whatever the job is you do, you've learned to get to the point you are, and you're going to continue to learn because it's going to be more professional for you. It's going to put you in the strongest position. It might get you a raise or a promotion or an advancement in some capacity. So you're willing to learn for your job. Why you're not willing to learn for your health? It's fascinating. But it will serve you really, really well if you do so. Are you looking to shed a few kilos, change your composition, improve your relationship with food, increase your strength, or simply just have a better accountability level? Then maybe coaching is for you. I now offer online coaching in a number of capacities, from week to week, fortnightly, monthly, and of course, nutrition-only coaching. So if you are interested or want to know more, simply jump on paulsbodyengineering.com or simply send me a DM. Moving on to number 14, Everyone is different, so find a process that works for you. This is really important. That's why I promote the fact that I customize everything for each individual that I work with, because everyone's different. And we're different in so many layers, in the way we behave, our personality, our emotions, the way we move, our body mass, our composition, the type of food we eat, the type of exercise that we like, the way we sleep, our jobs. So many factors come into this that you need to take all of them into consideration when coming up with a nutrition plan and coming up with a training plan. They need to be taken in consideration. So it is really important that that is considered a priority. If you're just grabbing a program off the internet or someone you follow on social media and following it, look, that's good. Don't get me wrong. It is really good because you're following a structured plan. You're going to turn up, you're going to commit. So that's really good. But is it customized to you? Is it customized to your gym? Or do you have to skip certain exercises because you can't physically do them because the gym doesn't have the equipment, right? And same with nutrition. Nutrition plans, firstly, need to be customized for them to be effective and sustainable. But secondly, they also need to come from a qualified place. You know, unfortunately, a lot of health and fitness individuals that offer meal plans and meal programming on, or nutrition programming on social media in particular, are not qualified. They're not insured. They don't have the appropriate accreditation, which means they're giving you stuff that's not coming from evidence-based research or science, which is kind of scary in some way. So please make sure you do your research, but find a process that is going to work for you, that is customized, and that is something that you can see yourself sticking to long term. Are you looking for a new place to train that is unintimidating, welcoming, and has state-of-the-art equipment? Then Plus Fitness Castledine may just be the gym for you. Locally owned, it is a fantastic facility offering 24-hour access, flexible memberships, and dynamic classes. You can find them at the Castledine Homemaker Centre in Castledine. Drop in, say hello, or give them a call on 3261 7400, and follow them on Instagram at Plus Fitness Castledine. And finally, number 15. Always use positive language around food. This is such a simple one. It seems so simple, seems so logical, but I see it often where people have this negative approach to food and just the language that you use. Oh, I got a diet. You know, dieting, the word diet references the style of or your lifestyle around food, what you choose to eat. It's not actually a word that is associated or means you're losing weight. But when we say, oh, I'm on a diet, straight away, that's the first thing we think of, is that you're losing weight, or why you're losing weight, and immediately the negativity comes from that. Whereas when we say we're dieting, it just means we're being more mindful with our eating, we're choosing to eat cleaner, we're following a certain nutritional regime. That's okay. Why should that be judged? So always use positive language around food. And if you don't want to use the word diet, come up with another approach. If someone says, oh, do you want a beer or, you know, a drink? No, I'm just being a little bit more sensible this week. You know, they generally don't judge you if you use appropriate terminology. So just think about that, but also your relationship with food and your positivity and your language around food. You know, don't think of food as a negative. We use food as a way to fuel our body, fuel our mind, fuel our day-to-day. You know, it shouldn't be a case that we have this poor relationship with food. And I'm not talking about, you know, eating disorders or emotional eating or anything like that. Just the dieting culture and the food culture where, you know, the term like pig out or binge or things like that are misrepresented or misinterpreted. You know, the word binge, I've had clients in the past reference the word binge as a not as a negative, as just a, like they're proud of it. Oh, I don't mind a good binge on the weekend. Like things like that, when that can be so misinterpreted. And when someone else is struggling with their relationship with food and this person is identifying that as a positive, well, then their relationship with food could potentially go even further down the rabbit hole. And we don't want that. So it's really important that how you associate food, how you speak about food, how you speak about food with others, you know, and always keep in mind, someone might be struggling with food, with their relationship with food, with binge eating, pigging out, things like that, but you're not aware of it. You don't know what their relationship with food is, particularly if they don't talk about it. So, you've just got to be very mindful and very careful, but always put food in a good light. Tonight I'm having a really healthy roast dinner. I can't wait. You know, it covers all of my bases. It's packed full of goodness, and I'm really looking forward to cooking with it. Or, you know, last night I had a few too many drinks, so today I'm going to go have a salad, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to eat that, and I'm going to nourish my body appropriately because I know I'm going to feel great off the back of that. So things like that can be really constructed in a positive way to influence others around you, because, you know, at the end of the day, we all have a societal role to play when it comes to how we perceive and how we deliver messages. You know, we can positively influence the person next to us simply by saying something in the correct light. So that's really important. So that's our top 15, my top 15. Top 15 tips for weight loss success. Eat a high protein diet, eat meals regularly throughout the day, only use supplements to supplement your nutrition, not replace it, don't eat subconsciously, don't aggressively diet, don't train excessively, don't keep making dietary changes, take rest days, ensure your water is high, control the weekends, don't grocery shop when hungry, be patient, be consistent, and build sustainable habits, continually educate yourself. Everyone is different, so find a process that works for you, and always use positive language around food. I hope there's been some really good insight and information and somewhat education for you, for if you've listened, and I hope that you know, there's a few notes that you've taken and you're able to implement some changes to your own health and fitness journey, wherever that may be and whatever that looks like. But of course, if you're interested in any of my coaching services, you can always jump on my website. You can always contact me direct via email, paul@paulsbodyengineering.com, or jump on Instagram and DM me as well. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Plus Fitness Castledine for sponsoring today's episode. They have been tremendous supporters of the podcast. If you're in the Castledine area or surrounding areas, please go and check out their amazing facility. First class, locally owned, great staff, great facility. I highly recommend it. And once again, if you're interested in my coaching services, as I mentioned earlier, jump on my website and have a look. Outside of that, thank you once again. Please share this podcast on your stories. Tag myself at Paul's Body Engineering. But I'll finish up there. And as I say to every client, every single day, have a great day.